A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us from transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to the shameful death, for according to his words, God will take care of him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord upholds my life.
The Lord upholds my life.
O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer. Hearken to the words of my mouth.
The Lord upholds my life.
For the haughty have risen up against me, the ruthless seek my life. They set not God before their eyes.
The Lord upholds my life.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely will I offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness.
The Lord upholds my life.
A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflict among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet but do not possess. You kill and envy but do not obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is taken from the first reading that we heard proclaimed. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us." Being obnoxious. There's a story about two men who were childhood friends from the very beginning. They lived next door to each other. After high school, they moved away to their different towns, but they always kept in contact, and their friendship was what sustained them. But it was almost like an odd couple. Pat was known to be a gentleman, good character, good and polite to people, where Mike was a little bit rough with people, liked to be antagonistic, and as we heard in the first reading, even being obnoxious. All throughout their lives, they were that way. Unfortunately, both of them were killed in separate car accidents that day. And the families were wondering, because there wasn't much family, neither of them were married and had any children, maybe they should be buried next to each other because they were friends on earth. So they bought a cemetery plot for the two of them. So the first funeral was for Pat. It was a nice funeral. The priest did a wonderful job telling how wonderful Pat was, how good man he was, and that he was very outgoing and just was the nicest man you'd ever want to meet. They took his body to the cemetery, and after the committal services, they buried him 6 feet under. Mike's funeral was a little bit later, and the minister was trying to find any good things he could say about him and didn't want to stretch the truth and didn't want to have people say, you know, is this the real truth about him, but did the best he could. He too was taken, body was taken to the cemetery, and he was interred 9 feet under. Now, people were wondering, well, why did this happen? Was Pat buried only 6 feet and Mike 9 feet? Well, deep down, Mike was a good guy. This is the most laugh I got out of this joke out of the Four Masses. Now I know what Johnny Carson went through for 30-some years. It's a good joke. I like it. But being obnoxious. We probably know people who are obnoxious, and maybe we're one of them. Constantly picking, constantly criticizing, just finding anything bad rather than anything good to say, and just being that way. It was a term that was used, about maybe 20, 30 years ago, which you don't necessarily hear it now. But it is interesting that it is the unwise, the ones that don't have the divine wisdom, are the ones that are obnoxious. This reading and the second reading talk about wisdom, not just any wisdom, but really it talks about divine wisdom. Because the author of this book said that there is divine wisdom and we should seek for it. Because once we have it, then we can see God and see the way his plan was for creation, the way God intended it to be. Divine wisdom has us kind of stand back in awe, realizing how small we are to the whole schema of God's plan. Where human wisdom is more controlling, wanting people to know justice, and the justice they want to propose really is unjust. That's why the unjust say, let's be obnoxious to the one who is just. Let us see how he's going to survive. If one possesses true divine wisdom, we heard in our second reading today from James, what are the graces and fruits from it? Is that we find that it is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits. If we seek God's divine wisdom, we should be able to enjoy the fruits of knowing God and seeing God and having the wisdom of God. But one of the gifts that come out of that and what it encourages all to do is to be just, to see that things should be just in this world. It's hard and it's difficult because we always see what human wisdom might do, but justice is never complete. Justice is never pure. And so the readings today tell us to possess this great gift. The author of the Book of Wisdom wrote this book, they figure, about 100 B.C., 100 years before the birth of Christ. And already he foretold, as we heard at the end of this passage, that the Son of Man is going to be one that's going to be tried because he will try to bring justice to the world. And so his words were true. Let us be obnoxious. Let us be the ones to try him and to see how well he does. And in that passage, we heard too that the Son of Man would probably have to suffer. So do we possess the divine wisdom of God? Do we seek the divine wisdom of God? I think if we see a wise person, a truly wise person, they have. But all of us are called to seek that heavenly gift so that we can see God. We can see his plan and stand back and marvel. But what God calls us to do in this life, then, from these fruits, is to be just. And sometimes we're not going to be received for it, but rather criticized, and people will be obnoxious to us because we're trying to be just. Let us seek all God's gifts, and especially the gift of divine wisdom, to help each and every one of us know the plan of God and marvel in his plan and hope to share in the fullness of his plan of eternal salvation.